On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. So let's start with the protest outside the Capitol Friday. The crowd of about 1,500 gathered to oppose Governor Evers' extended stay-at-home order, saying that it threatens their financial stability and civil liberties. Protester Brian Stewart of Eau Claire spoke with WITI-TV.
The freedom to travel, the freedom to associate with who I want to, the freedom to run my business or not, those are core to our life and our society. And by these kind of draconian restrictions, we're going to destroy the very fabric of the society that has been so stable and so good for so many people for so long.
What do you think of the timeline to reopen our economy? What do you want to know about the governor's extended order? What do you think of legislative relief in the first aid package? We're at 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor of WISP Politics. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Take us back to Friday. What did you see out of this protest?
A lot of people who are scared and angry. I mean, if you think about it, this is a time, every commercial we see on TV right now says what, you know, the uncertainty of the time tells us, trying to reassure us about what's going on. There are people who are fearful for their livelihoods, who are fearful of what's going on, and are unhappy about the order from the governor to stay at home for another month. It's just a difficult time for a lot of people.
And so you saw the tension play out there in front of the Capitol Friday. Was it what people were expecting? Who turned out for it?
It's a good question because, you know, the Facebook page with the organizers for the protest, they talked about several thousand who were interested in coming. There's a lot of national attention on Wisconsin and this protest because, you know, we'd see them elsewhere, like in Michigan. What was going on, but because we were such the eye of the storm with the April 7th election and going forward with it amid the COVID-19 pandemic, there was extra attention here. So I don't know if the numbers were reflective of what maybe the buildup was, but for those who turned out, there are a lot of people who were, you know, carry American flags, don't tread on me flags, a lot of Trump fans. I saw a number of Trump 2020 flags. So one guy had a giant trailer that said Trump Unity across the back, blaring patriotic songs. So just a lot of folks who were unhappy with Governor Evers, some people who were urging his recall, among other things. So just a mix of people out there. And I did talk to one counter-protester who was a psychiatrist at Mendota. She was in scrubs and a face mask and just held a sign. So they're quietly reading, "Please go home," because she was worried that all these people congregating in the Capitol Square, which is near where she lives, are going to bring COVID-19 to her doorstep, as she said, especially because most people weren't wearing masks. They were not social distancing. They were basically kind of giving it, stick it in the eye, if you will, of all these directives about what to do in the middle of this pandemic.
Well, let's look now at the stay-at-home order that was extended to May 26. We're going to be talking with the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Missy Hughes, later on here. But here she is, talking about what it would take to open the economy back up.
But I want to emphasize for you that a path has been laid out today that will lead us to reopening the economy. And that path has to include testing and PPE, contact tracing and isolation. And we will continue to have to do these things and build these tools in the coming weeks. And this will have to stay in place until we have a vaccine.
So what are you seeing there out of this extended order that is different from the first safer at home order?
Well, Evers put down kind of some benchmarks of how we'd get through, like get back to quote unquote normal, or what the new normal is going to be. What I thought was interesting with what was rolled out last week is, in talking to people around the Capitol, if Evers had paired the announcement of the second stay at home order with a path to reopen the state, it would have saved him a lot of grief. But because he didn't include that path when he first announced the extension to May 26th, it really ramped up the angst because there wasn't really a light at the end of the tunnel for people. So in the absence of Evers having some kind of path, we started seeing others put them forward, like the Tavern League of Wisconsin put forward how it wanted to see things reopen. Cody Horlocker, a Republican from Wanago in the state assembly, he sent a letter to Evers with a bunch of his Assembly GOP colleagues with a path that they wanted to see. And then after Evers had announced this plan, Then we saw something from WMC, State's Large Business Groups. They're all trying to get us to this path forward. What's different about the governor's, though, is he relies on testing and a 14-day window in which positives drop. The other plans that we've seen so far, proposals, ideas, whatever you want to call them, have not included the same thing. So as we stare at this Supreme Court lawsuit filed by Republicans over the second stay-at-home order, if that suit's successful, will the governor be willing to meld his plan and those benchmarks with some of the other stuff that we've seen from these various groups?
We're discussing the response to the extension of Governor Evers' Safer at Home order. Our guide is J.R. Ross, editor of WISP Politics. You can join in with your questions. What do you want to know about how businesses should respond right now? Are you a small business owner? What has it been like for you during this time? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, JR, let's look a little bit more at this lawsuit. Republican lawmakers sued Governor Evers after the administration announced the extension of the order. What is at the heart of this complaint?
Basically, Republicans are trying to, and I'm paraphrasing them here, force the Evers administration to come to the table and negotiate with them on a plan, a path forward. The governor, if you look at these orders, the first order was issued citing different powers than the second order. The second order, the extension through May 26, was issued by Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm under powers granted directly to her as the, in that position. So it's a little bit different. The lawsuit is saying that she exceeded her authority under the statutes, that this was out of bounds for her to do, and that they want an injunction to prevent enforcement of the order. But there's a second piece of that lawsuit that's very interesting. They want the Supreme Court, which is now a 5-2 conservative majority, at least until August 1st when Joe Kurowski replaces Daniel Kelly, they want the Supreme Court to issue an injunction but stay it for 6 days. They want that 6 days to have the Evers administration issue what's called an emergency rule. That is a power granted to state agencies under state law to basically put a policy in place, but that those policies under emergency rules are subject to legislative overview. So basically, in their minds, Republicans would have a seat at the table if this was issued by a rule versus this directive from the Health Services Secretary.
So where are we at in this process? What is the current status of the lawsuit?
So the suit was filed last week. We have a deadline tomorrow for the Evers administration to respond to the arguments. The next day, if you are not a party to the suit, but you want to file a friend of court brief, you're allowed to file something with the court on the 29th. Then the 30th, the Republican lawmakers get a chance to respond. Then from there, it's in the court's hands. Now, remember, this is a request for the court to take the case directly. So there are a couple of different benchmarks here. One, will the court take the case original action? Usually, the lawsuits file, it goes district, Dane County, Milwaukee, some county circuit court.
It works its way up.
Court. Yeah, they're going right to the top. This has been a frequent tactic by our conservatives lately because it's a conservative-dominated court. And they're fighting the Evers administration on various fronts to go right there. So will the court take it? How quickly will the court act? And then if it does side with Republicans, will it embrace that 6-day window of issuing an injunction and saying, okay, you've got 6 days now to figure something out? Or, the court can do whatever it wants to do. It could have a 14-day window, for example.
We have WISP Politics editor J.R. Ross as our guide to developments at the state capitol amid the coronavirus pandemic. What questions do you have about the pandemic and how state authorities are responding? What are you seeking from state lawmakers as they consider more relief packages? Which workers need help right now? What is unclear about the stimulus and its impact on Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. State Cap continues in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about plans to reopen the economy and Wisconsin Act 185, the state's expansive COVID-19 response bill, which had overwhelming bipartisan support. Governor Evers signed that into law 12 days ago. So what are your questions about the legislature's first bill aimed at providing relief? What do you want to know about the timeline for opening up businesses and how it's influenced by flattening the curve? Join in on the State Cap, 800-642-1234. We have J.R. Ross of WISP Politics as our guide. Let's take a call now. Annalisa is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Annalisa.
Good morning. My question is about how is this happening, what is going on in other states, because we see these governors like Andrew Cuomo and Gavin Newsom in California making these decisions, and I don't see them consulting with the legislatures. So I just wonder if Wisconsin is unique in this kind of a challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalisa. JR?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, what I don't know is like what the New York State statutes say or what the New York State Constitution says about powers are granted to the governor there versus here. In Wisconsin, we have a governor who's able to declare a public health emergency and has a 60-day window for unique powers. Now we're getting to the point where those powers end, which I think is like May 11th or May 12th, and now we're having a health services secretary issue an extension of that stay-at-home order. That's, I don't know how unique that is compared to other places, but it also, this whole thing reminds me of, and others, of just the dysfunction in the Capitol between Evers and Republican lawmakers has been going on since even before he took office. Remember the December 2018 lame duck session, attention-filled 2019. These guys have not really communicated very well or worked together very well the whole time they've been, you know, running Wisconsin. We had a brief window where after the first stay-at-home order, Republicans were unhappy about how it was rolled out, but weren't critical and seemed to be communicating better with the governor. It's all gone right back to where we were before, which is basically dysfunction. There just is not a relationship between Governor Evers, Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, and Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader. They do not have a foundation of trust built up over the last year and a couple of months to work together. So this is what you see, this kind of partisan gridlock that's gripped the Capitol now for, well, 15, 16 months. And again, I don't know what's how we compare to other states in terms of what's allowed, but I can tell you that we have a unique dynamic in which it seems like each side's been at each other for the entire time they've been in office.
Well, let's hear a clip here. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss spoke about working with the governor at a virtual town hall hosted by TMJ4 News last Thursday.
Just today, surveys showed that one-third of businesses are likely to never reopen. Just imagine your Main Street with one-third empty shops. We've got to get on this a lot quicker. Republicans are more than willing to sit at the table and work with Governor Evers to do it. We just have to have a willing partner in the governor.
We just have to have a willing partner in the governor. So what are some of the suggestions Republican lawmakers have made?
Well, we don't have a plan from Scott Fitzgerald or Robin Voss to look at. I mean, that's one issue. All we've seen from Republican lawmakers, besides obviously being critical of the governors, this proposal from Cordy Horlocker, who was a Republican from McGuanago, it's a four-week plan. The first week, you'd open up the outdoors, basically. Then you'd take more relaxations each week. Now, his guide would be, if there were an uptick in deaths in that seven-day window, you'd pause. You wouldn't go the next step. So that's him and like 12, 20 Republican colleagues in the assembly. Now, the WMC proposal, that actually was early on.
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Chris Kapping, a Republican from Delafield, a state senator, he had kind of worked them with it. They want to do a formula where you plug in factors like what you do, for example, because obviously there's different personal interaction in different businesses. So at different risks, right? You plug in what you do, you plug in where you're at, and it kicks out. Okay, you can reopen, but with these different precautions. Some of the factors taken into account are population density, because they're trying to get at a regional approach where Milwaukee County is much different than Vilas County, right, just because of the density. But also your healthcare capacity, because one of the worries is if you go to a regional approach or if you loosen restrictions in a rural area too quickly, you could have an outbreak that would overwhelm a local hospital system because they're not as big as you have in Madison or Milwaukee. But it's a formula based on all those factors, and it kicks out what you could do and when. We have not seen, though, here's our step-by-step what GOP leadership wants to do to reopen the state.
We're talking about plans to reopen our state economy, different plans on the table with J.R. Ross from Wispolitics. Take another call now. Patrick is here from Richland County. Hi, Patrick. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning and another great show, folks. Is what I would like to know. We've been talking about this out here. Say the Republicans get their way, and let's open her back up. Is what we're trying to figure out, can you see any scenario where, say, they get their way and it opens up, that politically down the road it's going to be a winner for them because there's going to be, you know, more people getting sick and more bad news on account of it? And, you know, like they've been saying all along, nobody's going to look back and say, well, we were too careful there. So would you please flesh out what their winning scenario is here?
Sure. I mean, you get to a point that I brought up with about the challenge with the Evers administration at the same time. If the Evers folks are successful, right, if they manage this perfectly, it'll seem like an overreaction because we won't have the number of deaths, number of positive cases as they possibly projected. So that's the challenge for anybody running this pandemic or trying to address is how do you balance things with and be successful without seeming like you overreacted? For Republicans, success to them is getting back to normal as quickly as possible in places that can handle it. Now, think about the maps we have in Wisconsin. Democrats are concentrated mostly in urban areas, especially Dana, Milwaukee counties. So for Republicans, the places that they represent, the legislature, they're not having the same experience. Yes, you have an outbreak in Brown County right now at a factor. You have pockets of hot spots, but the rural areas that have fewer cases are largely represented by Republicans. So they're seeing this as more of a big city issue that they feel like they can begin to reopen things in their districts and have their districts do okay. So my impression is for Republicans, if they could get a regional approach that allowed their districts to open back up, they'd feel pretty happy. Now, the downside for them, obviously, is if you have an outbreak because you forced things to move too quickly, then you might get blamed for that. Then how do you recover from that? It's a balancing act with any of this stuff.
Patrick, thanks. Let's bring in David now in Prairie du Chien. Hi, David.
Hi. Good morning. In the clip that you played from Ms. Palm, she seemed to have a hard line in the sand that when she issued this extension, it was going to have to stay that way until a vaccine is developed. Well, you listen to the national pundits and the experts, Dr. Fauci and those, they're saying a vaccine is not going to be here for at least another 12 to 18 months. And it does seem like the Evers administration does have a line in the sand and no plan to open the economy if they're going to stick to this thing that it has to stay this way until a vaccine was developed. There was never a vaccine ever developed for the SARS outbreak. And so I think there is a point, and I'd like your guest to comment on, they do need to articulate a plan for opening the economy because there's no way we can stay in this situation for another 12 to 15 months and have any semblance of an economy left.
David, thank you for the call. What does the Badger bounce back plan, as it's called, how does that relate to finding a vaccine?
Well, the vaccine is getting back to normal. Like that's where we all can do whatever we want to do. Go visit our relatives in nursing homes, hospital visits are unrestricted, that kind of normal. We are not near a normal right now. We're looking at a new normal. And a new normal under the Governor Evers kind of plan right now is, yeah, we're going to have this loosening and this three-phase process, but we're not going to have big, giant gatherings in the next 3 or 4 months, big festivals in Dane County. It's just not going to happen. Or in Milwaukee, I mean, the National Convention for Democrats is really much up in the air. It's in August right now, or push back to August, but can you safely meet? So the Evers folks, what they're visioning is if you have these 14-day windows of this drop in positive tests, like we've really bent the curve and we're on the other side, then you start to loosen things up. You go, you know, to groups of up to 10 people can meet, then up to 50 people. So it's this gradual loosening if you continue to bend the curve. And that's kind of how they vision getting back to kind of the new normal. But again, that normal, that's the vaccine we're talking about.
So as we start to wrap up here, JR, is there any legislation that is being discussed, round two of relief help that you know coming out of Wisconsin?
Well, lawmakers kind of hinted at doing another a bill when they passed the first one, but there's not been anything that I've seen circulated. One thing we are going to have to deal with is what this means for our finances. John Nygren's the co-chair of the Finance Committee. His office has tabulated about $3.5 billion coming to the state from the federal government. You add in money going to hospitals, another $420 million. But that can't plug a budget hole. And we have a pretty good feeling right now that we're going to have a budget deficit. The question is how big? Evers folks have said a drop of $2 billion in revenue was expected. So that's going to be maybe the next big thing for lawmakers. The challenge is how do we close that gap? Now, we're also waiting on the federal government. There's going to be another CARES bill that's going to direct money to state and federal governments, state and local governments. Mm-hmm. That would help. But the budget hole is next up.
JR, thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Take care.
You too. J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics. Coming up, State Capitol Report continues with the CEO of Wisconsin's top economic development agency. Missy Hughes is here to discuss changes to the new Safer at Home order for businesses. That is right after a news update here on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the impact of COVID-19 grows here in Wisconsin, WPR is continuing to bring you coverage of the latest developments and offer analysis. You can find the latest news, all the related stories at our website, one place. Go to WPR.org/COVID. Right now, you have a line to the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, or WEDC. Missy Hughes is here. She runs the agency that's giving guidance to business owners on how to prepare their operations to be able to follow the necessary physical distancing requirements, to follow safety precautions, to operate during a phase-in period. We're going to see what that looks like. Are you a business owner? What is the status of your company? Have you gotten access to credit or approved for the Payment Protection Program? Round two of PPP opens today. Share your questions, the status of your business. We're at 800-642-1234. Secretary Hughes, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, help us out here as we look into the Safer at Home order extension and what this means for businesses. A lot of businesses are hanging on by a string right now, and May 26th is far away. What can you say?
Well, you know, we have a real challenge in Wisconsin of this moment between public health, the public health crisis presented by COVID-19, and restarting our economy. And so as we move into this next phase, we need to be balancing, making sure that we are doing everything that needs to be done to protect each other while getting our businesses back open. And everyone is really anxious, including the governor, to get our economy restarted and rolling again. But we have to do it carefully and thoughtfully, because the last thing we want is to be stepping backwards.
So as you pick through and decide which businesses can be allowed to reopen gradually, what is that process like? I mean, because allowing the state's golf courses to open and yet another industry not to open, take us through that framework of figuring out what can reopen.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say that a fair amount is open right now. You know, you can go to your grocery store and your gas station. So it's important to keep in mind that we have allowed essential businesses to maintain their business, to stay open throughout the course of this challenge. And what we need to do is make sure that those essential businesses are operating as safely as they can for their workers who are working on a factory floor or in those grocery stores, making sure that the employees are safe, but also that the customers are safe. So now as we go forward and we start to think about what else can we open up, we need to be thinking about, is it a business where we can maintain social distancing? Is it a business where we can make sure that the workers and the employees are able to be safe? And one of the biggest questions is, are consumers ready to go into those businesses? So many businesses, you know, are challenged with this idea of reopening, bringing their employees back, buying stock, buying inventory or buying perishable goods, and making sure that the customers are going to be there when they open.
Oh, right. Because if the customer isn't there and the business puts all this investment into getting ready to reopen and reopening and the customers don't come, that can be another huge problem.
Yeah. I mean, think if you're a restaurant and you have to go out and buy all this food in the anticipation of your customers coming in, you have to have your wait staff there ready for them. We really need this to be an all-in effort, and that's why we all need to be thinking about what we're doing as we're going out into our communities, as we go into this reopen phase. We need to be sure that we're taking care of each other, wearing masks, washing our hands, practicing social distancing, and holding each other accountable for that, because it needs to be the cool thing to do. It needs to be what we're all in on.
Let's bring in a call now. Eric is with us from Madison. Hi, Eric. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess number one is to open things up before mass testing goes on is just ridiculous. And secondly, are these businesses that are so eager to open, are they going to be liable if a number of people get sick at their establishment? Are they going to cover that with their business liability, the medical costs and other costs incurred?
Yeah, Eric, thank you for that call. Eric wanting to know more specifics about liability and what happens if someone gets sick from an establishment.
Yeah, and the first thing that Eric mentioned was testing, and he makes a really good point, which is Safer at Home bought us some time, right? We needed to all do our best to stay home and to allow the efforts of testing and isolation and contact tracing. Those are tools in fighting an epidemic. We needed to get those tools ready to work, and we're still in the process of doing that. That's one of the biggest reasons for extending Safer at Home, is to make sure that we have these really important tools up and running before we have the reopening, quote unquote, of the economy. And Eric also raises this question about liability, which is really, you know, a tough nut to crack, because we don't exactly know, you know, where you might have contracted coronavirus, where, you know, whether it was in the grocery store on your way home from work or in your workplace. That's why it's really important that we're all doing our very best to protect each other.
Eric, thanks. Let's bring in Daryl now in Cooteray. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. My comment is three important words: testing, testing, tested. It's the only way to see where the virus, the invisible virus, is. And the sitting president said there are tests and we the people can get tested. When? Protest for testing. I would vote for that.
Daryl, thank you for the call. How much, as you consider, you know, in terms of what businesses can do and can't do, how do you factor in testing and how do you work with DHS, Department of Health Services?
Well, let me just follow up on what Daryl said to explain why testing is so important. So by testing, by mass testing, you can start to identify who is carrying the virus, and you can make sure that you isolate that person. And you literally, Secretary Palm uses the term, you bear hug them. So you bear hug them and you bear hug anybody who's been around them. That's the contact tracing piece of this. So that's why these tools are incredibly important, because once you start to identify folks who are either carriers, you know, they might be asymptomatic or they have symptoms, you can pull them out of the population and then you can start to get a handle on this. As far as businesses go, businesses are clamoring for testing and recognize the critical importance of it, because they want to be able to bring their workers back in, but they need to be able to do it in a safe place. There is no business that wants to have an outbreak, and they want to be as cautious as everyone else. And in fact, you know, the conversations that I'm having with businesses, they are being very, very proactive. And that's what we should expect from our businesses. They need to be thinking ahead and thinking about what are those extra steps we can take to make sure everybody is safe.
What about these businesses being able to access credit right now? I think the last figures I saw that 43,000 businesses in Wisconsin had beginning access to credit in the amount of $8.3 billion. Has that grown? Can you update that?
So that is the result of our first round of SBA loans that, you know, we've all heard about in the news. And Wisconsin was able to do well accessing those funds. I think it's because we have good relationships with our community banks and our credit unions. So now is this next phase, which has just been announced and signed by the president at the end of last week. As this next phase comes into action, we'll need to again be applying and again be working after it. You know, it's hard because what we're hearing is that that money is going to go fast. So for businesses out there that have been working with their banks, you know, now is the time in the next few days to be focusing on that. But the applying for the loans is complicated and it's hard. That's why it's important to be working with, whether it's your chamber or your bank, to be making sure that you're making the right choices for your business.
Yeah, I mean, some business, small businesses are saying even if they do get the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP money, they're not sure how to use it. It is really complicated.
It is complicated. I've been having some conversations with small businesses around the state, and you know, they're weighing their choices. There's cash flow issues when they start to repay the loan if it isn't forgiven. But right now, it's one of the best options. And my suggestion is go ahead and apply for it so that you get your application in, and then you can make the choices down the road about whether or not to take the money. But it takes about 3 weeks to process that application. And so it's important to get it in and then, you know, work through what are the best choices for you.
Let's take another call now. Kenneth is joining us from Janesville this morning. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. The only scenario I foresee is runaway inflation. By the end of this summer, where we're going to have $20 cups of coffee, this is not talked about. Inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods.
Kenneth, thank you for the call. Is worried about skyrocketing inflation and what that might look like here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I really appreciate Kenneth's call because, you know, as much as we're focused on fighting day-to-day this crisis and understanding, you know, what opens its doors tomorrow and what doesn't, Kenneth has his eye on the horizon, and that's really important because there's going to be lasting impacts to this challenge that the Wisconsin economy has faced, whether it's lowered orders for our manufacturers or, as Kenneth suggests, inflation due to the government spending and, you know, the bailouts that we're seeing. So it's really important that we also have a collective eye on that horizon. That's why getting through this sooner and doing our work sooner to protect each other will help us, you know, get those first steps of restarting our economy under our belt. And then we can really start to look towards the warning that Kenneth has and, you know, other challenges we're going to be facing into the future.
So as you talk with businesses, what is the number one thing that they're telling you? What type of pressure are they applying?
You know, the number one thing I'm hearing from businesses is we will do everything we can to make sure that our customers and our employees are safe. And we've put these protocols in place, so we need to get rolling. At the same time, we have universal agreement, no matter whether you're red or blue, that we need to have a phased-in approach, and we need to do it based on data and science. So that's really, you know, what businesses are echoing that, too. They don't want to go too soon, but they want to go. So, you know, it's that balance between the public health piece and the economy, and businesses are, you know, wrestling with it. Policymakers are wrestling with it, and we all feel the pressure.
We're speaking with Missy Hughes, the leader of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Do you own a business? Have you had to let some staff go? What do you worry about getting back on track? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back with Secretary Missy Hughes in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, WEDC, is providing grants to very small businesses that have suffered losses due to COVID-19. And then there was this telling survey by UW Oshkosh. More than a third of Wisconsin businesses responding to the survey say they'll have to shut down permanently if the state's economic shutdown wears on for more than 3 months. Is your business in this camp? How long can your company hang on? What do you want to know from WEDC? The number is 800-642-1234. We have WEDC Secretary Missy Hughes, who stays with us. So, Missy, that UW Oshkosh survey, so sobering. 35% of the businesses saying they'll go belly up if this stretches on into the summer, later in the summer. What is your reaction to this survey?
Yeah, well, it is reflective of what we're hearing both anecdotally and then when we're looking at big data, when we look at consumer transactions and merchant transactions across the state, we're able to see that same data coming through. And it's really, it's heartbreaking. at the same time, there is a recognition across Wisconsin of how important our small businesses are and how important that cafe on the corner is that you stop at every day and get your coffee and you don't even think about it. Now everybody is really thinking about it. And so I think there's really an opportunity to make sure as we go forward, we're supporting those small businesses. We're thankful for them. And, you know, at WEDC, we're looking for resources to be able to help them. We're in conversations with the governor and the legislature to try to access funds to be able to help those small businesses get their doors back open and get rolling again.
Do you know what portion of help relief aid is out there for small businesses that is in the form of grants versus what needs to be paid back?
Well, what we're seeing right now is when there is a grant program, it gets used up really quickly. At WEDC, in the very first weeks of the crisis, we stood up $5 million for businesses under 20 employees, and that went very quickly. And so, you know, the challenge is finding those dollars and then getting them out to the ones who need it the most.
Was that the Small Business 2020 program you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
And is that still going on? Is there still funding in that pot?
No, that's been utilized. We've been able to get that out to a few hundred businesses, which was really informative for us, but also really helpful for them. What we needed to understand is, you know, how do we find these small businesses? The terms that I'm learning, Kate, are unbanked or underbanked businesses that literally run on cash. How can we find those businesses and make sure they're getting the help that they need? Because that's really this invisible fabric of support that we have and businesses that we have throughout Wisconsin that are so important to us.
What do we do about those businesses that are sole proprietors, that don't have employees, and yet they do a robust business as a one-person company?
Yeah, so there's two pieces to that. First, I would say that there is, unusually, this isn't a normal kind of relief. There is now unemployment assistance for those sole proprietors. It's called the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and you can find out about that on the Department of Workforce Development website. So I encourage sole proprietors who, you know, would think, oh, there's nothing there for me. There is, you know, something there for them that they can apply for. The second piece is, you know, we need to be figuring out how to get some funds into those sole proprietors' hands so that they can reopen their doors, they can get rolling again when the time comes.
Let's take a call. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. In a state such as Wisconsin, which is very dependent on sales tax revenues, Wisconsin is not alone in that regard. But when there's some online commerce going on that's not taxed, and when there is very little storefront activity going on that's not available to be taxed, we're going to have to figure out another way to raise revenue in the state.
How do we capture sales tax revenue when it is moving online? Secretary Hughes.
Well, I think Rich's point is not only is it moving online, but there's no storefront. And so this is going to be a real challenge for the state budget. And we're beginning to just really understand the impact of that as we start to see March's numbers, and then we'll see April's numbers, and we'll see a real fall in the sales tax. And so we are going to have to decide how to manage that at a state level. And obviously, you know, there's conversations at the federal level about that also.
Secretary, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce outlined a proposal on how to reopen the economy. It is basically starting to reopen businesses a week from today. What do you think about this plan?
You know, I think, first of all, I want to say we had the opportunity to be briefed on WMC's plan before they unveiled it the other day. And it was really informative to hear. A lot of work went into that. That was primarily driven by WMC and a group of businesses really putting their good minds to thinking about how could we do this? We have, ongoing discussions with them about this. One thing that's important to keep in mind is the plan to reopen relies on those tools we were talking about earlier, testing, contact tracing, and isolation. And so we still are building those tools. And when we have those tools ready, then we can see the opportunity for something like WMC's plan to help us think about how we roll out. very important that it's based on metrics, which WMC's plan is, and based on this phased-in approach. So it's really thoughtfully done, and it puts a lot of responsibility on the businesses to make sure that they're doing what's right. And, you know, that's echoing what I'm hearing from the business community.
So plans like from the WMC is helping inform what the Evers administration may do going forward. These plans aren't being made in isolation.
Yeah, no, there's lots of conversations happening. There's lots of opinions about, you know, how to approach this. But again, I'm trying to find the places of agreement, and those places of agreement are we need to do it on a phased-in approach and use metrics. And so I think that's really important that we keep our eye on where we can agree, what makes sense for the state. You know, obviously there's conversations about regional versus urban, rural, you know, what are these different pieces that we can all put together? And at the same time, we're needing to build the tools so that we're ready when the time comes.
Marie from Baraboo called in, couldn't stay with us. Marie wants to know about how the closure and failure of local businesses on Main Street, how will that in turn affect the banks?
Well, you know, a lot of the community banks are looking at their businesses and just hearing heartbreaking stories about how the businesses are trying to stay afloat. And of course, the banks are on the front line for these conversations. The banks will be challenged. This is one of those secondary impacts or third impacts that we'll see where, you know, loans aren't getting paid, and the banks are having that impact. So that's, again, you know, going back to Kenneth's point, we need to also be keeping one eye on the horizon as far as what are the impacts of small business closes its doors, and then, you know, the banks credit line and the bank's process is affected, and that, you know, in turn affects our economy.
Is there any discussion as to whether there could be more of a curated opening of businesses in smaller communities versus the larger communities like in Milwaukee and Dane?
Yeah, there definitely is. There's ongoing communications about what can we do on the main streets for these sole proprietorships or, you know, one shop owner. And the governor is very focused on that, and those conversations continue. Last week, we were able to open up curbside service for those stores. You know, it's not perfect, and we understand that, you know, it's a real cut in the revenue. But that's why everybody needs to be thinking about what can I do to help get the economy rolling. I can wear masks, I can make sure I'm social distancing, and I can be looking at the innovative ways that store owners are reopening their doors, whether it's through curbside service or takeout with restaurants, and I can help them by participating in their innovative efforts. And, you know, yeah, I might not be able to go and walk around the store and try things on, but I can still think about, you know, I really value having a vibrant Main Street, and so I'm going to be innovative in my shopping or in my eating, too.
Secretary Hughes, what does your day look like today? Very quickly, the challenges on the table for you today.
You know, I am continuing to have conversations with businesses about getting ready. At WEDC, we are putting together a set of protocols, and we're working hand-in-hand with VHS to make sure that those guidelines are available for businesses so they can know what to do and how to do the right thing. Just continuing to talk with people and communicate to really understand the problems that they're facing. Because once I understand the problems, then we can put really practical solutions together.
Secretary Hughes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Missy Hughes is CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Just ahead, we talk with a technology culture writer getting tips and new apps. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.